knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today could easily be this mustache that I have continued to put on my face.
Yes. Every morning you apply it. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Which also, I was thinking about this. This raises some questions because we have mustache causality.
That's
from
true.
The time tunnel.
That is true.
Is this yet another mustache that
wow.
has been created by the time tunnel?
That is, that man, since we started watching that show, there has been a surprising number of weird coincidences, mm-hmm. usually based around coincidences in time eras
yep.
overlapping.
And now mustaches.
And now mustaches.
But no, my bright spot today is there's a new Oreo on the market.
Okay.
Coca-Cola Oreos.
Interesting.
They're trash.
I believe you.
I do not like them, but I appreciate the idea of trying to turn a soda into a cookie. I respect the game.
I can't imagine an alchemist in like the 1600s not being like, agreed, mm-hmm. totally. That makes perfect sense.
There's a lot of hubris involved in that decision
sure.
For this flavor.
Yep.
And I tip my hat, but it's
yeah,
bad. It's
absolutely.
Not a good cookie.
No. The Philosopher's Stone will not be made by Oreo, apparently. Yeah.
But hey, keep on trying.
Keep going.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is I'm getting my computer fixed.
Nice.
Whenever my other laptop that I used for other stuff got caught, cord got caught.
Fanny, dog accident.
Fanny ran around, boom, hit the floor. Bad move.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I took it to a repair shop, my kind of repair shop.
Oh.
Because there was a guy. End of story. There was an office. Not furnished, not painted, random shit strewn about. The table is covered with just loosey computer parts. It's amazing.
Bolts over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Screw on
it
the
is
table.
My type of place because it's clearly a guy who is there. I don't know if this is his main job or not, but he is there and all he does is fix computers. He has no business acumen.
Mm-hmm.
He is not spending his budget on ads.
There's no bells or whistles here.
Nope. This man fixes computers.
Mm-hmm.
Problem? He was supposed to get back to me an hour and he has not gotten back to me. It's been about a day. But it's a Saturday and a Sunday.
This might be a situation where your computer has been stolen.
Maybe gone for good or maybe just parts.
Yeah.
Maybe other parts now on his thing. And this was actually like a witch's bargain that I made. And when I go back, I will have a completely different computer from a series of... I guess gumdrops
mm-hmm.
Would be the witch version.
See, that's an optimistic view of what could happen.
Well,
I think maybe
gumdrop computer is an optimistic view. Yeah,
based on what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
This might not have been a computer repair shop that you went into. Some guy might have stolen your computer for parts.
Sure.
And you're never going to hear from this person again. You're going to go back there. There's no storefront.
It would be nice.
It is a Dunkin' Donuts
I would
now.
Prefer a Brigadoon scenario yeah. to anything. Again, this is my type of repair shop.
Sure.
Ultimately, that computer, whether it lives or dies, it's just another computer. But if that shop is Brigadoon... I discovered Brigadoon.
I also think that from knowing you, you would rather this person end up stealing your computer in this fanciful way
yes.
than go to a corporate computer
yes,
repair
100%.
Shop.
100%. I will take zero computer and this guy getting yeah. it in a weird way
that,
over a real computer any day of the week.
That negative outcome mixed with whimsy.
Yep, yep. Life is supposed to be fun.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today we got an episode to go over.
Yes.
It remains to be seen if it's fun. But we're going to be talking about September 25th and 26th, 2024.
Okay.
This is when Alex returned from Pennsylvania.
Right.
From his triumph at the live show in Reading. I don't know. He's in a mood.
I mean,
his shit's getting sold.
Relatively speaking, I would say, based on the cheers, that he did win the Pennsylvania show.
Yeah.
Huh.
If anyone won, it was him or Joe from Texas.
Joe from Texas. He won our hearts, that's for sure.
Yeah. Still not sure what he's selling. I haven't looked it up since the episode.
Just selling Joe.
Triumphant in a way. But then you got to come back to reality, and your shit's all getting auctioned off.
Sure.
And maybe that's a little bit of a bummer. We'll see what kind of mood he's in.
I just want price tags on everything.
I
know
do
those
too.
Those little Price is Right tags. Yep. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's the visual I want.
Showcase number one.
100% Showcase Showdown. Yes. Yes. 100%.
So let's take a little moment before we get into this to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, every time ChatGPT goes I want to burn down a server center. Thank you so much. You're an Apple's wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Kate, I'm outing you as a wonk for your birthday. Love, your big sister. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you guys are great and make my life better. Thank you, statement. And on to the main point, my policy wonk shout out request. I would be very pleased if Dan said the following. Hello, future Nick from past Nick via present Dan's voice. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
That present Dan voice had a mustache.
It did.
Time.
Although in the time tunnel they were clean shaven and then had mustaches. You went beard to mustache to clean. Then you'll be clean shaven, then mustache again.
Who knows?
Exactly.
The world is full of potential.
It's possible.
So you got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. So thank you so much to Jordan. I love hearing about your dogs. Also, as a fellow terrier haver, though mine is a border and not a Westie, from Ash C. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Ash probably loved hearing about your dog destroying your computer.
It was great. I love her so much.
Yeah.
I will take any opportunity to talk about my dog. So,
do you have any like a little anecdote you want to drop on Ash?
Let's see. Recently, Fanny created a new bed for herself. She's got a drying station now. Whenever it gets wet, whenever we come back from a morning walk. All right.
I'm imagining a drying station.
She had this little knitted dog bed that Devin made for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put a towel on top of it, and she was like, this is heaven, and just rolled around in it for 20 minutes.
So she manually dried herself.
She manually dried herself off and did it without me. So I'm happy.
See, I was imagining a situation.
Yeah.
Now maybe you could craft this.
Let's see.
Because you like to build things.
I do.
You build a little fort in the living room or what have you. Okay, so I'm imagining sun lamps and blow dryers.
Okay.
Connected to a little pedal.
And okay.
So she would step on the pedal.
Right.
And it would, like, warm, dry her.
No.
Blow dry.
I see what you're saying.
Little invention, little Rube Goldberg.
I like that. A little Wallace and Gromit kind of thing. Yeah. I like it.
I think you should do it.
I think I should, too.
So one thing, Jordan, that I think is missing on our show, that I think everyone loves, is guessing games.
Oh.
I don't think we do enough guessing games.
We haven't done a guessing game in quite some time.
Yeah.
It's usually pretty hard to guess things about what might happen in our world, though, or at least it used to be.
Shit's fairly unpredictable.
Yeah.
But I have a little clip I'm going to play of Alex.
Okay.
And you have to guess who he's talking about.
Okay.
See if you can do that.
A horrible person, totally corrupt, openly firing his whole family, violating laws, taking foreign money. Total crook.
Total crook. Who is he talking about?
I want to say Brett Favre.
Okay. It could apply to Trump.
Could apply to Trump, but it
hiring
doesn't.
His family, it taking doesn't. Foreign money,
it
breaking laws.
It could apply
laws.
To George Soros, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It could apply to Biden, but it doesn't. It could apply to probably Jeff Bezos, but it doesn't. Maybe it's Carrie Lake.
Ooh. No.
Okay.
Eric Adams.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it definitely applies to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
But I thought it perfectly lined up with a critique that you could have of Trump.
Yeah.
And I thought that was ironic.
Yeah. Agreed.
So we begin the show on September 25th. That's a Wednesday's show. And Alex is talking a little bit about his experience in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We're in the quickening of the quickening, and soon it'll be the quickening of the quickening of the quickening of the quickening. All the big changes are happening right now, for good and for bad. Humanity is at a major flux point. All right, I am back from Pennsylvania. Got back yesterday afternoon from a very successful event with Tucker Carlson and Jack Posobiec to a capacity crowd of 15,000+ people. But we've got obviously insane news all off the hook.
So it wasn't a capacity crowd, and 15,000 would be double the capacity of the Santander Arena. This is ridiculous.
That would be hard to do.
Yeah. I don't understand this need to exaggerate, because I went out of my way to be very clear on our episode, like, it was a pretty good crowd.
It was a good crowd.
Yeah. It wasn't so empty that it affected the presentation at all.
Sure.
Which you do see sometimes in events. But, like, I don't understand why you can't just take that win. You have to insist it was sold out and the place was twice as big as it is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's petty.
Yeah, it would be like the White Sox saying 15 people showed up to a game.
Right.
Yeah. You guys don't need to lie. You don't need to lie to us about this. There was zero.
Do you think that, like, his audience is incapable of searching for the arena and seeing that it only holds 7,000 people? Like,
that reminds me of the Mitch Hedberg joke. Can't fit two inside of one. Mm-hmm. The bottle would be all sticky and
shit. Shampoo is bullshit. So, Alex has heard that InfoWars is for sale.
Sure.
And he's heard other people talking about that.
Sure.
And he thinks they're wrong.
Okay.
Yesterday, the federal judge overrode the Justice Department in Houston, Texas, and said InfoWars goes up for sale on auction November 13th. Okay? So people are saying, well, what's going on? When they talked about having this hearing last week about, oh, the feds are helping Alex Jones, they're blocking the sale of the company, I said, that's not what's going on here. And then people saw what the judge did yesterday, saying the sale goes forward, and people said, oh, the judge is being mean to Alex Jones. A lot of nice, well-meaning people. Members of Congress, senators, I mean, this was a big story. And in the process, yes, it's wrong that we're being shut down, but that's not what the judge is doing.
That's not what's going on. Alex wants this sale to happen.
Right.
At this point, there aren't any other options. It's a good option for him of anything that's available.
Right.
He wants someone in his orbit to buy InfoWars, so they'll continue it as normal outside of where the bankruptcy can collect from. InfoWars selling to one of his allies or his dad would be a huge win in terms of being able to avoid consequences, so Alex doesn't actually want this not to happen. And so there are a number of people, I think like Marjorie Taylor Greene and folks, being like, this is wrong that Alex's like InfoWars is going up for sale. It's like, no, you don't need to fight against this one. Just make sure the right person buys it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to believe that there isn't a billionaire willing to be like, hey, fuck it, I'll put $1 billion down to buy this shit. It all goes to the families. And then I'll take all of the InfoWars stuff to Bohemian Grove, light it up.
The only danger is that someone who doesn't like him buying the company as a statement. And Alex, I think, recognizes that this is a possibility, but I don't think he thinks it's very likely. There is no possibility of anyone doing like a hostile takeover or a neutral buyer who just wants to cut some corners and make the place more profitable. Like, that doesn't exist.
Mm-mm.
The company either it has to be taken over and destroyed or reverted to Alex.
It is a single talent business, and not just that, but a toxically single talent business.
And it doesn't really exist.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only possibilities, because it doesn't exist, are someone buying it on Alex's behalf or buying it to spite him.
Yep.
That's all that's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's banking on someone buying it for him being more likely. I understand taking that bet, but I do think that there is still like an outside possibility of someone buying it to fuck him.
Yeah.
I don't know if that could happen, but There's some options. I mean, there's some people who might do it.
It is crazy because you're like, well, most rich people wouldn't buy it because it's a bad business decision. In fact, it's not a business decision. It is a non-business decision. But then you're like, billionaires are fucking crazy. Who knows what they'll do?
Right.
That one asshole bought Twitter. Shit gets wild.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, there's enough people who are dicks who
with a lot of money. Yeah. That's a problem that we are not dealing with.
Yeah. It just could shake out in a funny way this time.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
So InfoWars as we know it, however, will end. And November is when the auction is going to happen.
Right.
And so Alex is pretty clear about InfoWars as you know it does have a death date.
And so later in the hour, I will just go from the back to the end in a quick condensed form what's happening. But yes, InfoWars, as we know it, with Alex Jones, the founder and the owner, 100% of it, will end on November 13th. That part is true. I blew my voice out screaming at the Tucker event. People ask how my voice got so deep over the years. That, screaming. I've screamed so much I've got like the voice of an old drill sergeant. Got the voice like an 80-year-old man.
Chain smoking.
I shouldn't have done it, but I got so excited and I screamed atop my lungs, and it's coming back right now. But it's a good thing I took off most of the day yesterday when I got back from Pennsylvania, because I couldn't talk really. But it's back for now.
You can just hear the bids rising as Alex rambles distractedly about his voice.
There's got to be somebody. I understand that it's like a silent auction, right? So we'll never know what the bids are, but the bids themselves, I would like to read.
As I understand it, you have to be qualified, and then you can enter the bidding. And I don't know if it's a silent auction or if it's a live auction, but in that like private space.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't think I could get in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I could. Maybe I could find a way.
I don't know.
Because I could maybe make the argument that I'm a like observer.
You're qualified as shit.
Yeah.
To whatever it is, whatever qualifications you need, we'll fucking make.
If anybody from the auction house is listening, I'd like to observe.
What do you mean qualified to buy trash from InfoWars?
I think having money.
Yeah, that usually is.
Proving that you have a lot of money.
I do not have a lot of money, yeah. So I can't prove shit.
So it's not really about taking Alex out. But it is, kind of. But it's also about the internet kill switch.
Okay.
So that's why Tucker Carlson understands celebrating Alex Jones isn't about celebrating me, the person, but the demonized image they've created, so that if the public will accept demonizing somebody that didn't do what they said he did, then the precedent's set for everybody else. This is so important. We need to stop running away from the New York Times or CNN attacking us. We need to run towards it because they're the bad guys. If you're not being criticized and attacked by these people, then you're not doing your job. So I'm going to break down each piece of this story, what's true, what isn't. Because, again, it's historic and it affects everybody. And then I'm going to tell you how to ensure that we stay on air and the enemy isn't successful. But then I'm going to give you the bad news, and I'm going to explain to you that they're intending to bring in the internet kill switch. What does that really mean? That doesn't mean everything's turned off. It means you only get government and approved corporate voices. That is the official UN plan, the official CIA plan, the official Democrat plan. That's what they've been pushing and setting up. They're in panic mode. They're losing right now. And so they're going to try to implement this. And the question is, what will the crises or group of crises be to get that done?
Probably Alex being taken off the air.
That would make sense.
Yeah, Alex losing a bunch of money. That's probably the crisis that's going to bring in the internet kill switch. I don't know. I think it's got good news, bad news.
That is the difference in goodness versus badness, I feel, is stark.
Sure.
I mean, I feel like the internet kill switch, bad for everybody.
Yeah.
Alex's problems, bad for Alex only.
But the good news is you can give his dad money and he'll get it.
That is
he'll
good
get
news.
Some of it.
That's good news.
That's great news.
That's great news.
Bad news? Internet kill switch.
Internet kill switch. You're all going to die anyways. No matter what you do, I can't stop it.
Oh, shit. Also, remember that even if all of Alex's plans are successful, the globalists have a plan C.
90% of them. Yeah.
Bad news. But you can still give Alex money. So, that you know, it's kind of 50-50.
It's up in the air.
So the reason they want to take Alex out is that he's right about everything. And he's the first person to be right about everything.
Ever?
He's on top. He's ahead of the ball.
Right.
Except he's not. And even in this clip, he says he's not.
Oh.
I'm not worried about me, people. It's coming down on everybody. Trump doesn't just say, they're not after me. They got to get through me to get to you. That's happening. And I know you know that. But did you get a chill when I just said that? Because you should have. You better take this serious. We are weeks away from total martial law, frickin' nuclear war. They're digging in. They got all the bunkers ready. I told you months ago that an expert emergency manager has a huge company that private corporations, state governments, local governments, and the feds are digging in for martial law. Now it's in the damn news. You think they're getting ready for all this for no reason? You think they're foaming at the mouth to get me off air just because they don't like me? They know that I put out the first analysis that gets picked up by everybody else. And thank God. It's gotten to the point now where I used to be the guy that figured out what was happening 90% of the time. And now it's only half the time.
So Alex's premise is that the globalists want to take him out because he's the one who gets things right first. But then immediately Alex says that the rate he's first to figure out a story has dropped 40% in some unspecified time frame. It seems like if that's the case, the globalists should have much less interest in getting him off air. He's much less of a problem.
Yeah.
All of this is nonsense, but it does reflect a reality about Alex's career. He's not the vanguard of anything anymore. He used to be the guy yelling into a bullhorn, setting the pace for the conspiracy world, but that only worked because there were so many hurdles to entry back then. Other people didn't have a dentist dad who could buy ad time on a radio station to get them a time slot, for instance. Also, there's something that we don't really talk about all that much, but Alex also had media contacts early on. We talk about how he and Rogan were friends back in the day, but we don't really make it clear enough that they were business associates back then, too. Kevin Booth, Bill Hicks's production partner, founded a company called Sacred Cow Productions that released a best-of video of Alex's content in 2000, before he even made a big splash with the 9/11 conspiracies. This was a semi-formal group with Booth, Rogan, and Alex being the core at the start, along with Hicks posthumously. Eventually, they'd add Doug Stanhope to the roster. They produced Rogan's first special, Live from the Belly of the Beast, in 2001, which starts with that infamous sketch of Alex and Joe getting high and walking around UT in bush masks. Alex's 2005 film, Martial Law 911, Rise of the Police State, was produced by, quote, Alex Jones with Sacred Cow Productions. The issue isn't that there's some kind of a grand conspiracy here or that Alex is Bill Hicks. It's that early on in his career, he had access to people with some connections to show business, which other aspiring conspiracy theorists wouldn't have. He had producers and through these business connections got a guest spot on Rogan's special. Like, there's proximity and access that contributed to Alex being the main guy in this space during those VHS days. That fame and notoriety was well pivoted to the early internet, but now everyone can do what he does. The attention hijacking game has outgrown him, and there aren't these barriers to access. There aren't these gatekeepers, essentially, who are like making him look cool in various spaces. Any shithead on Twitter can just do this now.
Yeah.
That's why it's 90-40 or whatever.
Yeah, that's a precipitous drop.
Mm-hmm.
Business-wise, that's a emergency panic mode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Gates. It's like, oh man, how did this genius come up with this genius? There were six computers within 100 miles space. Oh, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. He had access to a computer and no one else did. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like weird, interesting circumstantial stuff.
Totally.
But you can't really look at his existence and be like, well, it's because he was a prophet and he was like he was right about everything.
Yeah.
No, he did have a discernible talent and then a bunch of lucky variables that worked out.
Yeah, there were tons of
people. And Bill Cooper died.
There are tons of people right now with discernible talent who don't have opportunities to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are tons of comics that I know are very, very funny who will never have any success just because. That's life.
Yeah, but they have a lot more ability, given the internet, to do things that they couldn't do before.
Oh, comparatively speaking, yes.
But it's still...
Yeah, it is.
The internet's shit.
Yeah, it's shit.
So Alex discusses the auction process in this next clip. And I think he's trying to do a stop the steal. He's predicting that there's going to be voter fraud in his auction.
In the next few weeks, people have to go in to the bankruptcy court, and there's a procedure for it. They have to get qualified as a buyer. It's like if you're going to buy an expensive house, you got to go get qualified with credit. You have to get into the bidding process, and then you've got to, on the day of the auction, November 13th, that's digital online, you have to then bid, and it's a reputable group, but something like this, who knows whether the good bidders will get blocked out or something, and so they won't be able to bid, and somebody else gets it for nothing. That's why we've got a lot of plans and things behind the scenes to make sure it's all fair and to make sure actual people are there at the place where it's being digitally run so that it's all being watched, and so there's telephones and people that are certified and ready to get bids in over whatever happens if they shut the bidding down or hack it or denial of service attack it, and that stuff always goes on. Elon Musk put up a poll about me with 50-something million respondents, should Alex Jones be brought back, and they later admitted it got DDoS attacked, and they tried to shut the poll down.
Are you comparing a Twitter poll to the auction for your business?
Yeah.
Is yep. this silly?
Yep, yep.
So yeah, there's I think he thinks that there's going to be a
voter ID fraud, DDoS, hacker attack.
Yeah.
What?
The logical conclusion of this is him refusing to leave his building because he's January 6th thing, his own business.
Yeah.
Or something.
I mean, that would make sense. I'd be fine with that.
Sure.
Okay. So the hackers hack things, but at the end of the day, this is a financial transaction. Like, no matter how much you hack the website, that's only just going to prolong things. It's not going to...
Right. Maybe get a new auction another day or something like that.
Yeah, it's not... This isn't a fucking movie where they can, like, make the money disappear on your screen whenever they want.
Yeah, a Twitter poll is not real, whereas a business is, yes. And, like, all that money is...
Yes, the money is real.
Yeah.
Yes.
In theory. So Alex reads some headlines here about this liquidation, and it turns out Roger Stone, he might save the day.
Sure.
Tragic InfoWars, we liquidated and auctioned off to help pay San Diego families. No, they didn't want money. They want it closed. Alex Jones InfoWars show likely to be shut down in months, NPR. Alex Jones InfoWars will be auctioned off to pay San Diego families, New York Times. No, they don't want money. They want it closed. They've said that on the courthouse steps. It's not families. It's the CIA. It's the FBI in control of it. Roger Stone says he's putting together a group to buy it and then put Alex Jones into
Stone Group.
I haven't even talked to Roger about this, but if Roger wants to go with some group and outbid the other people, then, you know, I would definitely work with those guys. So that's what's going on. And it's quite the event. I will just say this again, as I said 30 minutes ago, I'm out of gas. I've got very little money in the bank since I went through Chapter 7, and I need money to hire lawyers and complete this. So we can win this, but I need you to go to our sponsors because I actually get some of that money, and then I can actually use that. They're sponsors. They pay InfoWars, and there's also
God damn you know, it.
The fee of me cutting the ad and the endorsement fee. So that's why you've seen three or four new sponsors here. And even the amount of money they're bringing in after I pay free speech the majority of it, it's not a ton of money to fight this fight. So I need you to up the amount of sales we've got at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, incredible T-shirts.
I get a smaller cut of this arrangement outside of bankruptcy, so I need the bulk to go up. I need you all to buy more because I get a smaller amount.
See, profit margin.
I gotta pay these fucking lawyers.
God damn.
A little transparent.
Yeah. Yep. How much? I never know with these types of grifters, like with Stone now. Mm-hmm. Like, does he still have a shit ton of money from whenever he was evil? Or is he, like, actually on donations?
He was saying, I'm broke and I can't pay my legal fees.
Yeah.
You all need to give me all this money.
Right.
And then I guess maybe things worked out for him. I guess
that's how it works.
But I think, okay, the premise here, I don't think is it's Roger's money.
No, I think
he's arranging
that. I think this is more of a general curiosity thing as opposed to how would he logistically do it?
He could bring together these billionaires or millionaires in order to save InfoWars. You'd think he would have been able to get them to pay his legal fees.
Yeah.
It is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I think this might be blustery shit talk.
That would make sense.
Because that kind of sounds like Roger.
Yeah, I mean, boy, him helping somebody out does not seem like it's in the cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Nope.
I mean, that was what God said when he was made.
Well, like, Roger went, and he's doing his show on Frank's speech. He's doing the Mike Lindell stuff because Mike can pay him and Alex can't.
Right.
So,
not for much longer.
Yeah. Do you think Mike Lindell is going to be the one who comes in saving for us? I don't know.
Man, that would suck. What if it was the Saudis? Like, straight up, he's gotta make up all kinds of new shit about 9/11.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
I know that it can't be Mike Lindell, because he already advertised a little bit.
Right.
And if he was gonna do it, he would do it.
He would already own
InfoWars.
Yeah.
So I was listening to this, and I was like, this is kind of just an ad. You're just doing an infomercial discussing how you have a liquidation sale, so everyone needs to go to your sponsors,
right?
Because that way you still get some of the money. And then
the
second hour started, and it was just the first hour again. They replayed
the first hour entirely. Just literally replayed it from start to finish.
Yeah, and so I was like, huh,
I'll be goddamned.
All right, let's go to the 26th. Let's go to Thursday.
Okay.
I'm not listening to the same hour again. And so we jump in, and Alex is contemplative. It's the moment of truth.
Okay,
the moment of truth is here. I discovered 40 years ago a well-known plan that millions of others knew about when I was 10 years old. And my
uncle, of years ago,
who I didn't learn until much later, had been high-level government secret operations, was that telling me how evil the government was and how they wanted to set up a world government and enslave humanity, how they'd have one computer that controlled the entire planet and controlled our every movement. And my father, that I respected and I knew was super smart, nodding his head, listening to my mother's brother, who he just admired. And I'm just so blessed that my life, I've had a leg up early on knowing about this and having great family. And by the time I was 15, I knew I wanted to be in the media and fight these people because I believed in you. And I knew they had a long-range plan, incrementalism, and that if we got ahead of it, people wouldn't listen at first. But I knew, because God was literally telling me this, and at that time I didn't know it was God. I would just have these ideas, and they were so strong, I get chills up and down my spine, that I had a mission and that I was supposed to do something. And when I was screwing around with women or screwing around, you know, partying, I didn't take drugs, but drinking.
Yeah, you did.
I remember the Holy Spirit saying, this is not your mission. And so from the age of 20 on, I'm 50 now, I've been on air for 30 years and...
Claim you're sober. Claim it.
30 and a half years now. And I just now see God's hand on everything.
On everything. I never did drugs. You're lying about your early years. What are you doing? What is the point of mythologizing all of this? This is horse shit.
And also, you should be proud of doing drugs when you're young.
Sure.
Do drugs.
This is a blowhard. Fucking
yeah, that's
look back. Oh, from the time I was 10, I knew about God telling me what time it was when I woke up in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
then I had a chicken fried steak and everything became clear.
You know, it's like those memes about the dominoes, you know, where something small and then the big domino happens. You know, the one, but it is like, God, his uncle has no idea the damage he has wrought. Just by fucking with a 10-year-old, you know, like...
If any of these stories are true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, hundreds of thousands of 10-year-olds are being fucked with in similar ways at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are going to maybe have destroyed democracy in the end.
Yeah. It's the ripple effect.
It's one of those things, you know.
The ripple effect of one crazy uncle.
Yeah, and it's like, I understand that it fits within a larger wave of all kinds of other stuff. It's not a single domino that winds up. But man, it sure feels like you put something in there in the wrong slot, man.
Yeah. So many prominent people have come around and they're like, I want to help you out, Alex. Maybe I'll join Roger Stone's group that's buying your company.
Great.
My phone is melting off the hook. The email is on fire. Amazing things are happening behind the scenes. Incredibly prominent people are calling me up and saying, what do you need? What should we do? And that's because InfoWars will close on November 13th. The Democratic Party CIA FBI operation, that's now all public, they're very public, they're so arrogant, says that they don't want money. They've said it on the courthouse steps and in hearings in federal court this year. They want to shut this down. And they claim they've got big money people that are going to, no matter what happens, bid to get InfoWars and the trademark, the copyright, and shut it down. And they've said we'll own Alex Jones's name, even though that you can't own that under law, and that we're going to take your social media. They filed that in court. Just pull it up, Reuters AP. And that they're going to continue to just sue me forever and say I won't pay them the $1.5 billion that I would never have made in 10 lifetimes. And now they admit all the lies about me, hundreds of millions of dollars isn't true.
Yeah, you probably are going to be dealing with this for the rest of your life. That is, you know, that is true.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about these really prominent people who are rallying around Alex. But if they are there, I think they'll win. I think that, like, the right-wing shithead money, I think that there's more of an incentive to have this optical win of, like, Alex staying on air than someone on the other side.
Yeah, because the reality of it is that right-wing shithead money is fundamentally bottomless.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, the right-wing shitheads that have the money, if they run out, they can go to one of the people who gives them more money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and it doesn't necessarily, okay.
And they put a premium on trolling a lot more.
Yeah.
And the troll potential of Alex staying on air through this is very strong.
It almost even makes sense. In fact, I would say that the only business for which it would make sense to acquire InfoWars is Twitter. If InfoWars became a subsidiary of Twitter.
I mean, it already more or less is.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Once Elon Musk made his main source of communication Twitter, basically bought him anyways.
What you want is like Hamdi Ulukaya to buy it.
That's
what you want.
Yeah, here's my sorry. Mm-hmm. Shove it up your ass.
That's the kind of thing you want. Yeah. But I don't think that has as much of a premium as some ding-dong being like, Alex Jones can't be stopped.
Yeah.
That, I think there's more value to that.
What's the pitch to Hamdi? Hey, buddy, you can do it. Why?
Uh-huh.
Because he's a bad guy. Oh, yeah, I'll get right on taking care of every bad guy.
It's a convincing argument, but it's a bad business decision, ultimately. Yeah. So I can understand why some people would not want to do it.
Yeah.
So Alex talks about a really real story.
Totally real.
It's about his bravery.
100% real.
And how God forced him to take on 500 Antifa one time.
I believe that.
So I don't spend my time whining and bitching about this stuff, but I do have to tell the listeners, I'm a tough guy. I don't have to imagine I'm tough. I don't think about how I'm tough, but I look back sometimes in my life and I'm like, God, I'm crazy. I mean, you know, something's wrong with me, actually. I remember I only had 3 or 4 security guys. We go down to a Trump rally in Dallas, and they'd hired 500 serious felon thugs that didn't even know politics, and they were threatening us, and I couldn't help it. I turned and walked into the Antifa crowd, not even looking for a fight, but I couldn't be afraid of them. And these were seasoned former special operations military, Green Berets, Navy SEALs. They were, like, freaking scared. They go, you're nuts, man. And I said, God told me to go in there. And you know what happened? It was all these, you could tell, felon white guys, felon black guys, big, mean dudes there to intimidate Trump supporters, scream at him, yelling at him. And they started going, wait a minute, that's Alex Jones. He's a good guy. He had the real Rick Ross on about the CIA. They went, wait, I know who he is. And by the end of it, they were coming over and high-fiving us. Some were still didn't know who we were. There was some Antifa white professor types in hoods and black trying to direct
us. Sorry?
Practice. But when they were threatening us, 500 of them, I couldn't help it. I was like, I've got to go in there or I'm not a man.
Sure.
And I'm not trying to act tough. I'm telling you, there's video of that. And security people all over the country called me about it. They said, you're nuts. You should never do that. I didn't do it as a stunt. I didn't even know when I got there. I saw them yelling at families with kids. I saw them yelling at pregnant women. And I said, I'm going to march in there, and they may get me at the end, but I'm going to break some jaws and bash some brains out of at least five or six of them before they get me. And it's that thing comes over. You just all of a sudden feel like you're 50 feet tall and just because they were messing with women and families. And I went, I'm going in there. And the security's like, no. And I go, we're going in. And the security did follow me in. To the midst of that, we got to dig that footage up.
Unrelated, I watched 300 last night.
I was going to say, reminds me of a movie. Reminds me a lot of a movie.
This happened.
This totally happened.
Alex saw this giant mob of 500 scary Antifa. And he walked in like Moses parting the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Just walked in because God told him to. He just walked into that big crowd of scary felons, and they all were like, we want to hug you, Alex, because we like you.
Mm. Mm. What's your you've got a true story that's unbelievable.
Mm.
Think about like a true story that if you were to tell, people would be like, that sounds like maybe you're exaggerating details or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It does not sound like this.
No.
This sounds fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah. There's a number of times where like it's really weird that this happened, like X, Y, or Z, 100 coincidences.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're telling that story, it generally isn't like the coincidences all happen to line up directly with my psychological hangups.
So crazy.
Yeah. All of the things that are weird about this story happen to be things that are my issues that I wrestle with constantly.
Yeah. 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 My desires feature heavily within these coincidences occurring.
The unbelievable things appear to be self-soothing. elements I've added to this story to make myself feel like a big boy.
Yeah. This isn't quite a big fish story so much as if the size of the fish was the reality of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a guy who's a Marine, and he was testifying about January 6th.
Okay.
And he started getting a little emotional.
Sure.
Was close to crying.
Loves his country.
Some people might want to make fun of that.
Okay.
But you shouldn't, because he was only crying because of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And this leads Alex into some really weird religious stuff.
And the reason I told that story that I was thinking about this morning was a way to describe this, you know, pretty high level for a young man, highly decorated Marine, who testified in Congress yesterday with all the J6 stuff that I'm about to get to coming out. And he said, he starts talking about them persecuting him for being a Christian, for talking about FBI informants in the crowd, and obviously arresting FBI's fake Antifa, and taking the handcuffs off and high-fiving them and all that video we've got. And he said that they tried to ruin him and destroy him and his family and a bunch of other FBI agents that told the truth. And he starting to cry while he's reading it. And it's not because he's a wimp. I know what he's feeling. As he tells the truth, he feels the Holy Spirit. And when you're in the presence of God's love, it shakes you when you're telling the truth, because God likes that. And God
God's
carried him through
up,
this
man.
For that moment, and God was pleased with him. But you have to take it one step further. That's a baby, and I'm not saying he's a baby in the Holy Spirit, which most people never get past that. The Comforter. There's a different part of the Holy Spirit when you take
cool
that
part.
And go, okay, I'm not going to just be in awe of God. I'm going to turn myself over now, and I'm going to let God shine through, and then, as the Bible says, God does not give us a spirit of weakness or fear, but of strength and overcoming. I'm paraphrasing. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Look up the actual quote. Bold as a lion. And I'm telling you, the Satanists try to have this power with their demonicness and their rage. It's all a fake facsimile of the real Holy Spirit. And the real moment, if men that feel that will then just say, okay, I know I'm freaked out in the presence of God. That's God literally touching you, saying, I'm all about free will. Give me the keys.
This is all fun for Alex, I'm sure, but it's not really making sense. The premise seems to be that when you get choked up and emotional when you tell the truth in a difficult situation, that's because God is happy with you. That's just the first, most elementary kind of interaction with God, though. And when you go deeper, you just go on autopilot. God is all about free will, but ironically, the ultimate act he demands of you is that you use that free will to give up having any will at all. The pinnacle of freedom is the act of using that freedom to enslave yourself. I get that there's a kernel of this in a lot of religious ideology, but for Alex, this is no good. All of his political ideas are about sovereignty and the individual, how the collective cannot impede your rights to do whatever you want to do, but now the idea is supposed to be that we just need to consciously allow a supernatural force to use us as an avatar to do stuff? If that's what Alex thinks, then the only value he brings to the equation as an individual is that he's famous. Because he has an audience, whatever the supernatural force does in his body will be seen and reacted to by more people than if he was just a random person on the street. Outside of that, there is nothing about Alex Jones, the person, that matters to this spiritual force. He is just a thing to possess. Telescoping out a little bit further, this has some fairly unfortunate implications about how people should live. For instance, the measure of a person is directly related to how completely they can submit to an outside force. Freedom and free will aren't ends in and of themselves. They're means to the end, which is using that free will to renounce your free will. If that's the case, then you would never have an incentive to encourage people to get fully in touch with their free will. Rather, you would want to create a dramatic but surface-level attachment to freedom. All this is what I'm saying. It goes further to your theory that Alex is actually being spoken to by the devil.
Yeah.
And he thinks that it's God.
Yep.
Because this sounds like devil stuff.
I mean, otherwise, his God is just so fucking weird. Like, and not in a... Because if you're doing stuff like this maliciously, it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the devil.
Right. But if you're the devil and you're saying, I'm all about free will.
Hilarious.
Give me the keys.
Exactly. Hilarious. Yes. The funniest thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
Especially if you convince a guy that you're God.
Yeah.
It's the best. But if you're God... What are you fucking doing, man?
Yeah.
You're the... What? You shouldn't be fucking around. That's why you created the devil, I guess.
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm gonna possess you, but you need to choose
Weird.
To be possessed.
Weird.
That seems...
You already are me, I yeah. guess? What is happening?
There isn't... I guess, there. You know, I have a lot of ideas about God and love and that stuff,
right.
But that's just the baby version.
Right.
That's just the comforter version. Alex is into the, like, we've talked about this. He thinks he's doing, like, Grand Theft Auto missions for God.
He's the best, yeah.
He's at the other level.
I wonder, all right, imagine this. Imagine a religion that is purely honest about its God, and it's just going, like, we were created because God's working through some shit.
Mm.
That makes more sense as of Alex's God is like a God that's like, man, I have got some serious attention deficit issues. I've got some serious emotional regulation problems.
I'm petty.
I'm petty as shit.
Yeah.
I got to work through this.
There's a lot of weird stuff that I'm not aware of that I should be aware of.
That I should totally be aware of.
Because
I've created the entirety of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It is a little strange. And I just think that it's incompatible with what Alex is supposed to stand for.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much individualism and all this and the humanity having value in and of itself. I guess we don't because we're just meat.
I mean, I understand the concept behind freedom of submission.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's there. You know, I get that. I don't get Alex's version of it.
Mm-mm. Well, because it involves possession.
That's the weird part.
Yeah.
The possession part.
Because I think to him, we are meat. With a radar.
So that means that, like, when you only saw one set of footprints in the stand, that's because I jumped inside of your soul
yeah.
and was carrying you in physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
He thinks that we're meat, but, like, with an antenna on top of us.
Right.
And we have to have the will to turn on the antenna in the direction of God,
right.
And then God takes over our free will. But that decision is the only thing that you need to do.
Right.
And then all of your decisions are made for you.
Yeah.
And you got to be scared of that guy.
Okay.
Who's sending the transmission in.
I don't understand.
He's scary.
I mean, based on Alex's description, yes.
But also Alex is really scared.
Okay.
I'm just a bag of bones and blood, but I've got a spirit that can aim its antenna at God. That's the power. It's all God. 100% God. God made us, God gave us free will, and we have to want that relationship, and you have that, nothing can stop you. But it's when you're aligned with God that you will then feel the full power. And I'll tell you, I know
Is that what you're supposed to be looking for?
A lot of great men and a lot of great women. But they have a humbleness about them that they never, because when the Holy Spirit approaches them, they stay in the comforter stage. And I've heard no one ever talk about this, but this is known in your spirit. And if you read the Bible, it's there, but nowhere else. That's why you'll see really powerful preachers that aren't just good orators. There's something about what they're saying, and this fire comes over them. They're glowing. They're shining. And they're saying these things, and it's not just their oration. It's that you know it and you feel it, and it's because they, at a spiritual level, because I don't even teach this in seminary, I've looked it up, had get past the comforter zone and go into the John the Baptist mode, who was aggressive and fire-breathing and scary. Because God's scary. That's what people say. He doesn't fear God. The foolishness to not fear God. I mean, the ancient Jews wouldn't even say God's name. They feared God so much. Not before the Babylonian captivity and all that stuff that came out after. I'm talking about the original Jews. And
the OJ.
When you start to really think about that, it's because it is so awesome when you dial into that. And you're given above and over the horizon information, and you have dreams that come true, and you know it's not you, something that awesome, you better treat it with respect.
And you know what time it is when you wake up and pee. Fear of God doesn't mean being scared of him. You know, like...
It doesn't make sense.
No. I mean, obviously, maybe a little bit of that is mixed in, but there's, like, reverence and respect.
Right.
And, like, that's more what fear of God...
Awe.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at the cliffs of Dover,
mm-hmm.
and you go, it is a fear to fall off of that, and mm-hmm. yet the beauty gives me awe.
Yeah. I think that there's a piece missing of Alex's analysis, but... I don't know what they teach at seminaries he's looked up.
I do appreciate they don't teach this even at seminaries, as though he's got some super secret information that God gave him.
They don't teach this at seminaries, but they teach it at cemeteries where I conjure the spirits
yeah,
and speak
right?
to the dead. Because I worship the devil.
Because he worships the devil. Just say it one time. Just mess it up like a Freudian slip.
Mm.
Love that devil. I mean God.
So the thing about the Tetragrammaton and,
sure.
Is a little bit more complicated.
Sure.
It has to do with linguistic history.
Naturally.
Things like that. It's much more complicated than Alex is putting it out to be, that there are people who were just scared to say the name of God.
Nah, I think they were just scared to say his name.
Very dumb.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex rambles about God like a long time.
Sure.
On this episode. And I was getting annoyed. Quite frankly.
Fair enough.
But it all leads to exactly where you think it might go.
Oh, God.
I want to just be one of the only people that's able to do this, that's on our team. Because the devil's got his thing, and his people open it up. You see what they do. And it's their own little twisted counterfeit of what God does. It's not confidence. It's total completion, eternity, the quiet place of the Most High that King David talked about, that you then project into the third dimension and you show the people the power of God. The unlimited total completion. And it's just a spark of God, just a reflection of God's reflection of a shadow, but still it's the most awesome thing in this universe. And when people see it and hear it and taste it, they know it. In their bones. So, I'm going to go to break. I'm going to stop preaching. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get into all the news, and it's massive. And the globalists are in full collapse, which we shouldn't. We should respect that, because that makes them more dangerous than ever. And their commitment to pure evil to stay in power. They're willing to blow the planet up, but we can stop them with God's help. But I'm going to just say this very clearly.
Give me money.
I have always told you the truth. I have never lied to you on purpose. I've made plenty of mistakes. And when I tell you something, it's the absolute truth through my distorted human temporal understanding. But it's as close as you're going to get to the truth as there is out there, okay, in my view.
It would be.
The enemy wants us off the air because they're about to make their big moves. That's obvious. Everybody knows that. I'm not going to belabor this. I need money to fight this war.
Yeah.
I try to make it easy for you to get great things while you do it. I'm up against the deep state. I got God on my side. But God has to work through you. I came on air yesterday and I asked for people's help. And we had a little extra money come in.
Oh, my God.
That ain't going to cut it.
This feels belabored.
That was belabored.
Yes.
That was the most, wow. To make a long story long.
God is on my side. I need money. I told you yesterday, didn't help that much. That sucks.
Yeah.
Also, him being like, I'm not going to lie. I've never lied to you. You lied about doing drugs earlier.
You literally lied about that earlier to make yourself look better.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Out and out liar.
I mean, okay.
He's using God as a lie.
Let's go into just the basic outline of the God devil kind of continuum, mm-hmm. in metaphor throughout history. God offers you nothing, mm-hmm. because you already have everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's already given it to you. Mm-hmm. And so the offer is nothing.
Yeah.
Get it? All right.
It is for you to accept.
Right. The devil goes, look at how powerful you can be.
Uh-huh.
I have all this power to give you. Mm. Money, wealth, riches, your own show, influence beyond anything that should be reasonable considering your talent level. Any number of different things that the devil might offer you.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't offer those things traditionally.
I think according to Alex, God is a trickster.
I think so too.
Which
Anansi is his God.
So he needs money.
Sure.
And he gets a little blunt about how much money he needs.
Oh, no.
He needs $1 million.
So I need money. I can't make, God, I'm going to get $5,000 of my cut yesterday. That ain't going to cut it.
That
I need
should
$1 million in the next few weeks into out of my cut, which is small, so that I can fight them. I'm out of gas. I'm up against the wall. I'll keep fighting all the way. But we have millions of listeners right now. Less than 1% buy anything. I'm not bitching at you, but what are you doing? This is the real war. This is the real deal. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Incredible Patriot t-shirts. It's an adventure to wear them out in public. You get almost nothing but love. I might get attacked.
You might get attacked. Cool.
I like that sales pitch on t-shirts. It's an adventure.
Yeah. People might love you. You might get attacked.
I like that.
You never know.
I like that.
Yeah.
That might make me buy a shirt, is literally being like, you never know what's going to happen when you put this shit on.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell.
Could be violence or a hug.
Could be anything.
Know.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like a cool guy.
No.
I need $1 million from my cut.
$1 million from my cut. And if it's a flat fee or if it's a percentage of sales, that is going to be a ridiculous amount of sales.
Yeah, I think Alex can't imagine that is going to be successful based on how successful his plea from the previous day was.
Yeah.
Disappointing, apparently.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think it's that compelling anymore to be like, I need to pay my lawyers.
I don't know why anybody would want to pay your lawyers.
Right. We've met Norm.
Shouldn't you be on the space of like, what if we just don't pay my lawyers this time?
Right.
What if
we turn around, fuck around, and sue our lawyers?
Why would I?
Because they've clearly been malpracticing.
Yeah, why would I pay my lawyers?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I need $1 million, though.
I mean, that does make sense.
That does.
I believe he does need a million
dollars.
He
might need more.
Probably.
So he comes back from break after this, what I would describe as an abusive ad pitch.
Yeah, I would agree.
He comes back, and I think that this needs music bad. But I'm listening to the version of it that doesn't have music.
Okay.
You can feel the energy. Humanity is making its choice for the next 10,000 years. It's as if we have pulled an arrow from our quiver. Set it to the bow. Hold it back. Focused our eye, aimed at the target, and prepared to softly loose the arrow. The entire trajectory of our species, our destiny, is now in our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the big one.
That is the big one.
Wow.
That really needs music.
That does.
That sucks a cappella.
Yeah, yeah. I would prefer some kind of like a jazzy, like almost a doom, 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 doom. You know, I would go with something like that.
I think there is a lot of possibility for what could go in there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you could make a lot of things fit. But man, is it bad without anything.
I would, okay.
It's so funny to imagine being there and watching him do this with no music. Like, you sound crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Ridiculous. I don't know. Music shouldn't make it that much better, but it makes it so much better.
Well, because it's distracting.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, oh, it gives it an air of drama where you can be like, obviously he doesn't mean this because there's music playing behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's just kind of feeling the vibe of the music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, without the music.
Ooh, all right. Somebody get Tank. Mm-hmm. Cowboy Bebop main theme. Play it underneath that. That's the way to go.
You know what it is? It's like watching people at a silent disco. You know where they're dancing with headphones on?
Yeah.
You know? It's like that.
Stop it. Everybody go home. Yeah. Everybody go home.
Yeah. So, Roger, he knows all about the Eric Adams situation.
Of course he does.
And so Alex teases Roger coming on to talk about that.
Let me tell you what's coming up. We got a bunch of big guests today. Roger is, you know, lives in New York. Most of the time he moved down to Florida years ago, but he has all the intel. Roger Stone on Eric Adams' indictment that we knew was coming. It's very important because it shows the political process and how it's all political.
Wait, the political process is all political?
So crazy how that happened.
What are you saying?
Things have changed. Back in my day, the political process was completely apolitical.
Yeah.
No politics.
Keep politics out of politics.
Keep it out of politics.
What?
I hate politics in my politics.
So New York Mayor Eric Adams was indicted recently, and if you read the actual indictment, it's a comical level of corruption that is described.
It's hilarious.
He was getting tons of money from, like, Turkey and Turkish business people, as well as defrauding the state to steal money, and it does not look very good for him. At this point, I have no idea what kind of ways Roger is going to try and build on top of this, because it's already wild.
Yeah. No, I think it reaches the point where his greatest crime is gall.
Mm-hmm.
The man has the gall to do this.
Well, as Alex would say, hubris.
I mean, I don't think it's humor. I don't know if he thought he could get away with it or not. I just think he can. He just did it. Mm. Like, fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
So Alex's take on it is that he only is getting indicted because he went against migration policies that the Democrats and globalists wanted him to push.
Sure.
He got out of line, and so they indicted him over this thing that they would have ignored otherwise.
Right.
Roger is not on that page. And
good.
He's like, no. He committed a bunch of crimes.
This guy's just comically corrupt.
Yeah.
Why are we bothering?
And so Alex kind of has to double back on his conspiracy about it. But it's not very interesting.
Mm.
But there's also news about P. Diddy.
Yeah.
That has come out.
Yeah.
And so Alex talks about that a little.
Also, it's been testified to by his main bodyguard, Pedo Diddy.
Nice.
And it's come out that he worked with Epstein's handlers, and it's all CIA. And now they admit that the government has the videotapes of royalty, politicians, and preachers screwing underage boys and girls, and cameras everywhere, exact same CIA operation. And then you ask, why is it coming out now? Well, you see all these people that are involved doing exactly what they're told right now. All these politicians, all these movie stars, people endorsing Kamala, running around like chickens with their heads cut off doing it. That's because the New World Order is activating their setup. And I would expect him to kill P. Diddy sooner rather than later, or Pedo Diddy, as he is known. Then we have Zuckerberg coming out saying he's a libertarian and likes Republicans now. That signals that they know that Trump's win, if they can't kill him, is going to be so big that they can't steal it. So Zuckerberg has definitely hired PR firms, he admits, to try to not be destroyed with what's coming. So that's a rat leaving a sinking ship. That's the enemy panicking. That's a good sign.
I don't know if Alex understands what he's doing, but in the span of 1 minute, he reported two stories that entirely contradict each other. They don't actually contradict each other in the real world, but in this narrative framework, they do. The first story is about Diddy and how he got arrested for the horrible crimes he's been committing and why it's happening now. It's happening now because the New World Order is making its move and everyone's falling in line. They have all this dirt on all these people, so all the big-name folks, they're compromised and they're coming out and endorsing Harris. But then the second story is about Mark Zuckerberg deciding to brand himself as a libertarian, which shouldn't be possible if the first story is true. If the first story is true, then Zuckerberg should be endorsing Harris aggressively because he's one of the biggest globalists, according to Alex. Like, he's literally Bill Gates's mentee.
And he went to Hawaii to look at his horrifying evil compound.
Exactly.
You have described him as such.
The only way for both of these stories to be true is if the past decade or so of content about Zuckerberg is wrong, which seems like a pivot Alex isn't going to be willing or able to make. This is just, like, these ideas are at odds with each other. These two stories conflict. Also, because it's funny, one of the major investors in Twitter after Elon Musk bought it was Diddy. Musk said of Diddy, quote, "He's a good friend of mine. We text a lot. Don't expect their very clear and frequent connections to ever come up on InfoWars unless Alex gets kicked off Twitter again and then he'll suddenly remember it."
Yeah.
The thing that kind of sucks is he was on the Gethard show. That,
yeah, it's a big deal.
It was
on
the Diddy
Gethard
door.
Show. Yep.
That doesn't feel so good anymore.
It's no good.
No,
I don't. I just don't think you can give anybody that much money.
Yeah,
you just can't. Like, because, and I'm not saying that this is like tons more people. Or everybody would do this if they had access to it. But more people than you might think would be monsters if they had access to hundreds of millions of dollars.
Probably.
Right. Like, one of the things that keeps people from doing insane shit is that they can't physically, in a sense. And we can't allow this shit.
Well, I think that what you're getting at is that when you get to these levels of money,
yeah,
the risk is so high that even if only 1 out of 1,000 people would be like him,
yeah,
the damage you can do once you're in that, like, level of money is too great to risk.
If there's 1 out of 1,000 and 1,000 people have that much money, you have guaranteed somebody is going to be a fucking horrifying monster.
Yeah. The damage that's possible is quite high.
Yeah.
So we get to another news story here that is just not true.
And I know, as this audience, because you're super active, you don't even need to tune into me to know this. You've been researching it. So remember, for our main audience, I know you know this. I'm not patronizing you. But we have millions of new listeners that come through every day. So you talk about total vindication of myself and Trump and Tucker Carlson, Dr. Darren Beatty, and everybody else. The Inspector General of the Justice Department came out yesterday and testified and said, we're not releasing the report yet, but we can tell you massive numbers of federal agents outside and inside the building. Now, we have the FBI director saying that's not true. We have a bunch of other FBI senior people in testimonies. We have those clips saying it's not true 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago. And now the inspector general says, actually, it's true. We're going to put a report out on it.
January 6th is broken open.
Oh, man.
The inspector general has come out and said there were so many fucking feds all over the place.
Sure.
That didn't happen.
No.
This isn't true. The DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz was questioned by a House subcommittee, and he was asked, quote, do you have evidence of the number of confidential human sources that were operating on the Capitol grounds on January 6th? Horowitz answered, quote, our report will include the information in that regard. There was a follow-up about whether it was more than 100, and he said, quote, I'm not in a position to say that, both because it's in draft form and we've not gone through the classification review, so I need to be careful. That's not him admitting that there were tons of feds inside and outside the Capitol that day. Alex is just a liar, which he told me he wouldn't do.
Earlier.
He said he wouldn't do that.
Earlier.
Right, because God and all that.
Not like in the past.
He's not capable of lying because he surrendered his free will to God who acts through him.
Yeah.
So the evidence of him lying must mean that it's a different supernatural being that is...
Well, it could be, or God's working through some shit. God, maybe God doesn't even know when he's lying anymore. He's like, I created everything. Now that I'm saying this, I probably made it true.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's heavy.
That's a weird fucked up God you got there.
Yeah. And in that spirit, I'm going to skip this next clip because it's just Alex complaining about how everyone's dicks are getting smaller.
Wholesome content that he doesn't lie about.
Yeah. So we're going to skip to this clip where he's defending himself from accusations of crying on air. people were making fun of him crying right. that night where he was like drunk. And
I was going to say, which night where he was drunk?
The big one where he was pretending like they were going to go off air.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I have to sleep in the studio.
Yep.
That stuff. He defends himself from people making fun of him.
Okay.
If you've got a relationship with God that's real, and you love justice, and you're helping people, and you're helping yourself, and you love God, that's all God wants is you to love him. And then if you love God, God's going to love you. God already loves you. And then God's going to do things for you. But you won't even want it once God does it for you. You'll just want to be closer to God. So God hates cowards, and it really comes down to that.
Why is God hating people so much?
They have all these videos and articles all over the news of me breaking down crying when the feds tried to close the doors without a court order 12 weeks ago. Out of a 15-hour live broadcast, I was up late, I was tired, and I was thinking about my children and nuclear war in the future and how corrupt the Justice Department is. They would try something like that and just how far we'd fallen. And I got tears in my eyes of emotion and loving God and just interfacing with the universe and, sure. and consciousness. And so I started crying. And they went, look, he's crying. They're taking his company away. Oh, look, he's crying. And there's and then they take that out of context to make you feel demoralized and defeated. Oh, look, Alex is crying. No. I'm empowered that the enemy would be this desperate to do things like that. It's energizing. This persecution is amazing. It's the best thing other than my children that's ever happened in my life. It's opened doors up. It's made me stronger. It's trained me. It's done so much. I was crying because the Holy Spirit was so strong. And I know you know that, but I just want you to know how the enemy operates. Oh, look, he's crying. He's pathetic. We're going to shut him down. As if that won't wake up even more people. But I refuse to be Machiavellian and do my own weird false flag and not 100% try to keep InfoWars on air because they want it. Even though if they shut it down, it's going to make us bigger. But I refuse to pull my punches.
What?
I refuse to one. In fact, I fight harder to keep this on the air. Even though I, at a temporal level, think, well, if I let him shut it down, it'll be even bigger. But that's not what God wants me to do. He wants me to fight as hard as I can for this operation with this flag, with InfoWars, because that's in God's plan, and I can't understand it. But God wants me to keep us on the air. He wants to keep InfoWars going. So I'm going to do that with everything I've got, but I can't do it without you. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get T-shirts now. That's how you keep this operation one way or the other on air. Go there now. That's the coordinates of victory.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
God would respect that pivot.
Jesus
that pivot
Christ.
Was strong.
Man, when Jesus really fucked up those money changers, God was like, hey, bro, what are you doing? I invented commerce.
That last couple seconds is whiplash.
Yeah, it really hurt.
That one, even almost 8 years into doing this show, you can still be a little bit surprised. That one was a little surprising because it felt like it was coming off a rant about defensiveness. It didn't feel like this is going commercial.
Yeah.
But it did. It did.
You know, I've been in churches where they speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in snake handling churches. I've done some crazy religious beliefs. Somehow I really do think that's the craziest one, where you could just be like, I'll go into a fucking ad pivot.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the craziest religious belief I've ever heard.
God wants you to, and
see,
I don't know why.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That is the craziest thing to believe.
I think that this is why I kind of liked Joe from Texas, is because I have no idea what he was selling.
Right.
Like, I know he was selling something.
He had to be.
But I don't know what.
That's important.
With Alex, I know exactly what you're selling, and you're going to remind me in the middle of completely disconnected rants.
Yep.
Also, I mean, people were making fun of him for crying because it was obviously fake crying.
Yeah.
He was going through a bunch of weird fake mood swings and lashing out. And I wish just people would post him throwing up in his mouth. Like,
yeah,
was that because he was so close to God?
That one was probably more booze.
That's, yeah.
That was booze and cigarettes.
Yeah, I'm gonna
throw that
night.
Out there.
Same night, just post that instead.
I remember I was watching something not too long ago where they were like, you remember, you know, because we're old now. They were like, dial tone, internet, the noise it makes. Some people don't know it. Mm-hmm. And for our generation, it's like seared into the back of our minds.
Oh, yeah.
Like that is what is there. And I do think that there's a certain amount of that for like in the 90s, if a man was any less than like stoic, then compared to the 60s and 70s baby boomer generation, they'd be like, ah, you're a bunch of losers. Mm-hmm. You can't cry and all that stuff. I feel like that's gone away. If you're sincerely crying, I think everybody's like, yeah, man, get it out. We've all been there.
I think the percentage of people who still hold on to those feelings mm-hmm. is higher among Alex's audience than everyone else.
That's what I'm saying.
But I personally have been hypersensitive to Alex's emotions and
yes.
things like that. And try not to make like fun of things that are sincere.
Sure.
His crying is not sincere most of the time.
No.
That's what's funny about it.
Yeah.
If he was actually crying, I don't think I could not feel empathy. But he's faking it.
It's really not
it's
something that we do. Yeah.
So fuck him.
Yeah.
Anyway, Roger comes in, and his analysis of the Eric Adams situation is not that interesting. His discussion of putting together a team to buy InfoWars, not that interesting. Mm. But there is one little clip we're going to talk about.
You know, I think last week, for example, when Joe Biden put on a Trump cap, was photographed doing it, when he posed with a bunch of school kids wearing Trump T-shirts, when you saw that entire interview on The View, I think he's still very angry about being forced out of this race. When he was asked about why he got out, he basically said, well, you know, my polling wasn't all that bad. It was about the same as hers is today. I thought I could win. Most of the folks I trust thought I could win. But there were some in the Democrat Party that were concerned that I couldn't win. This guy is very unhappy about being forced out. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He didn't put on that hat because it was some kind of a mental slip. He knows exactly what he's doing. This is his way of sticking it to Kamala Harris and Barack Obama, who forced him out.
Did you see this video?
Hmm.
So Biden was at a firehouse in Scranton, and he was clearly fucking around with a guy there who was wearing a Trump hat.
Okay.
So he's trying to give this guy a new Biden hat, and the guy asks him to autograph it. They joke around a bit about how he can't remember his name because he's so old.
Right. Hey, yeah. I remember that from the TV.
And then Biden gives the guy the signed hat and says, now I need that one, referring to the Trump hat that the guy had been wearing.
Right.
The guy gives it to him, and then he puts on the Biden hat, and Biden puts on the Trump hat.
Fun.
Everyone smiles, and they get to feel like bipartisanship is a thing that can happen anymore.
Great.
And Roger decided that it's part of an elaborate coded message that Biden's trying to send against Harris and Obama.
It'd be a fun message.
This is stupid.
That would be very stupid.
Roger is an idiot, and I will not treat him as anything but.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the... From a writing perspective, I love the idea of a presidential heel turn right before the election that is so desperately...
Yeah.
You know, everybody agrees this is so desperately important, and he's like, yeah, you know what?
Fuck it.
I'm petty.
Trump all the way,
shit.
Baby.
Hell yeah. Let's do this.
But you know what? They are like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Roger and Alex are like that.
It would
like
make
that.
Perfect sense for them.
So
they'd be like, yeah.
They are projecting that onto Biden.
Yep. To them, that seems like a reasonable course of action.
Right.
Yeah.
For them, Michelle Obama might come out at the DNC with a steel chair
totally.
And take the nomination.
100%. Hulk Hogan might speak at the RNC.
Sure. So anyway, we have a guest.
Okay.
This is very exciting.
All right.
It's the guy who killed Bin Laden.
Well, he's a number one New York Times best-selling author, the operator firing the shot that kills Osama bin Laden, and many years as a SEAL team warrior. Robert O'Neill is here with us. You can find his book everywhere. You can find his website as well at robertjoneill.com and on X at MC Hooray. And so be sure and check all of that out. Well, I'm glad you're here. It was great having you on via a video link a few months ago. So much has happened. They just tried to kill Trump, and you said you had a lot of suspicions and concern as a well-trained sniper.
Oh, this is cool. So Alex is supposed to believe that Osama bin Laden was not killed by that sniper or the SEAL team.
Right. Wasn't that...
That's not what
that's
Alex
the
believes.
Deal, yeah.
He's supposed to think that bin Laden died way earlier and the whole thing was a stunt in order to boost Obama's approval ratings. So that's weird.
Didn't they thaw him out? Wasn't that part of it? They actually literally thawed him out on the boat
mm-hmm.
on the way there because you don't want to stink up the place.
Right.
No, it makes sense.
Leaving aside how this guy's claims poke glaring holes in Alex's worldview, it should also be stated that a lot of people have been pretty offended by O'Neill taking credit for killing Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Some folks have said that he's exaggerated his role in the story and is a huge asshole.
That sounds true.
Probably unsurprisingly, this guy has a bit of a history of attention seeking. He's also publicly claimed to be the lead in events that ended up becoming the movies Captain Phillips and Lone Survivor.
Ooh.
So,
wow, he's got three to his belt. He's the Forrest Gump of assassinations.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
He saved Captain Phillips.
Okay.
Anyway, after leaving the service, O'Neill became a Trump fan, and that got all crazy about COVID conspiracies, so here we are.
Huh?
But yeah, he's one of the people who says he killed Bin Laden.
I mean, if that's me... That's a pretty solid post-military career, you know? Just throwing out faking the guy who murdered Osama? Why not?
Here's my feeling on it.
Yeah.
I get the sense that, you know how, like, everybody has, like, a fake bullet in the firing squad, so no one knows who did it?
Yeah.
I feel like the SEAL teams have a similar code.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like
whoever gets him, we all did it as a team.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've seen a number of interviews where people have been responding to like his claims.
Sure.
And they've been like, it doesn't matter what he did. We act as a unit.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is a bad post-military career.
I agree.
I think it's betraying a bit of the system that you submitted yourself to.
Sure.
For personal gain and self-aggrandizement.
Sure.
So but I think I mean, that's kind
of
shitty.
You know, you're a tool of America's murdered machine. So what's the moral bottom for you? Fuck it. No, ride out.
No, I mean, I guess it is complicated. You can't get too harder of a where do you go down from here
right.
from being like a murderer in the Iraq war.
I like the idea of being at the pearly gates and God being like, oh, look at that body count. But you know what? You lied about Osama, you piece of shit. Get down there.
You're a dick.
Yeah, you're a real asshole.
Yeah. For my purposes, I'm assessing him as a dick.
Agreed.
Because he's on Alex's show, and that's what I know of him.
That works.
So I also think that I was like, okay, this is at least going to be like a challenging interview where Alex has to deal with the fact that this guy killed Bin Laden, which he doesn't believe.
Right.
Among other beliefs. Then it was just like, this guy sucks. This guy is a real... he's a real dick.
He's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, my new daughter is just happy to be happy. And that's what I want. That's what we all should do. And I think a lot of the problems with this country is... even the feminists. Like, they want to go out and get jobs, but which is fine. But they want to put their family secondary.
They act like children isn't the ultimate mission.
It should be. And that's what makes the country great, is the nuclear family, a father and a mother at home. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. But I hate, like, my daughter at home, she doesn't get sad because we bring her to daycare. And I don't want to do that. I want to raise her as an American.
Yeah, this guy just sounds like a dumb idiot.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. He sounds like he has some opinions that are old.
Yeah.
And...
probably from the days when he went into the service.
And they don't seem to be like expressed super coherently.
Mm.
He seems to be a little bit all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
These fucking feminists.
I haven't heard that one in a long time. Mm. I haven't.
Look, if women want to have jobs, fine.
It's like,
but they
it's
need
like,
to reproduce.
It's like the last movie he saw was PCU, and then he joined the military. And he's like, well, the end of my political belief system.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he rambles a bit about how gay marriage is a conspiracy.
Okay.
And it was a bit of a slippery slope by the NGOs who just want money, and that's why they're making everyone trans now.
That sounds right.
When the government gets involved, especially with NGOs, I think the way that it started, NGOs came in and initially started off with gay marriage, which is great. If you're an adult, you want to marry a dude, you're a dude, fine, whatever. But they came in with all this money, and all of a sudden, gay marriage is there, cool. They didn't say well, I guess we're done with that. Then they went on to trend because there's so many donors, there's so much stuff coming in that they're not just going to say, okay, we're done with that.
Or
then they
move on to the trend. They move on to everything else.
It's
a business plan.
All you got to do is follow the money. And I know we hear that all the time, but it's
we've seen the heads of medical schools saying we're going to make $30,000 per kid just with the surgeries.
No, it's because somebody is making money off the vaccines. They're making money off whatever nonsense they're trying to pull. And they're never going to not say, okay, we're just done. They're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And again, if you're 18 and up and you're an adult, do what you want. But once they start coming for the kids, and that's all they're doing, because the communists told us a long, long time ago they're going to come for the kids, they're going to come for the school, they're going to come for the entertainment, they're going to come for the media. And they've taken all of it. I mean, even back in the day when you talk about McCarthyism, McCarthy was right. Alger Hiss was in
dead on.
He was, and you can't even say that right now. And it's frustrating for me because, like I said, I homeschool my kids.
Right.
I just talked to Emma, my daughter.
Oh, do you?
21 years old. I talked to her just today, and she's in college. And I'm telling her, you got to watch out for what's happening. And don't look, you're in college. Don't just because you're listening to someone in a room, he or she listened to someone else in a room who is. I've been to 70 countries. I've been in 400 combat missions. I've been overseas. These people have not, but they've heard what these communists tell them over and over and over again. And that's the nonsense. And and you know what's crazy is they've told us straight up, here's what we're doing to your kids. Get some. So guys like me,
that's your line in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done with this nonsense.
Did I just stumble into a Coke party?
I have no idea.
Like, what is happening?
What the fuck?
This guy, these thoughts are disconnected. They're all over the place. I feel annoyed.
Can I suggest a couple of things? One, you have been out of the country. I agree. Mm-hmm. However, let's say you haven't been necessarily a tourist.
No.
You've been more like going into places with the intent to harm other people who you think are evil.
Right.
You've been told they are.
With your gang.
Yeah, with your gang. Yes. You have gone into someone else's home and murdered a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, out there is dangerous.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's real fun for people to be like, what's education? It's just a person in a room who's
always
been in
great.
A room with a person.
Always great.
Okay, dude.
All right.
Cool it.
Listen, I understand. These liberal elites. I get where you're coming from.
So the NGOs.
I don't get the McCarthy was right and I homeschool my kids. I don't get those two. I don't get those two together.
And it's all because they want to profit off making everyone trans because the gay marriage got passed. And then they're like, we got to keep making money.
How is it? That's the thing that I don't understand the people who don't get like, all right, listen, since 1880, every 30 years, we've decided a new group of people are people, women, boom, Irish, boom, black people, boom, women again, boom, black people again, boom, gay people for the first time. If you were in the black people aren't people era, you're definitely not in the gay people are gay people era. You're not cool.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand, I guess, not getting the bigger picture. That is what you're describing.
Right.
But he doesn't.
Like I get what, man, think about what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. In 10 years, you'll be saying, hey, trans people can get trans, whatever. I don't give a shit about that.
But
what the NGOs are doing is making that. Buddy, just skip to the end. Mm-hmm. Just skip to the end.
It seems like a cruel lack of awareness. But I also think that this guy seems stupid. So it doesn't really seem that unbelievable that he wouldn't get it.
No, he looks he's got the Dunning-Kruger effect disease. It is embodied by him.
Yeah, he killed Bin Laden and saved Captain Phillips. Deserves it.
That's, man, what a weird world we live in where that's not only like an acceptable thing to crow about,
but also
people want to buy your book because of it.
I'm not 100% sure this is the first person who said he's killed Bin Laden that Alex has interviewed.
That's a good point.
I'm not sure. My memory is a little bit hazy, but I know, no, that's right, because Tonto Peronto was, he was at Benghazi.
That's right.
Yeah, no, he didn't kill Bin Laden.
That's right, he did not.
So I think that this guy has Alex energy in that he won't shut the fuck up. he keeps talking, he rambles, these thoughts are disconnected.
Sure.
And I really get the sense that Alex does not enjoy talking to himself.
You can vote your way into communism, you got to shoot your way out. And that's all it is. You vote for socialism, and then your children eat out of dumpsters. And
socialism is always the road to communism.
Every single time. And you'll hear these people say, well, they just didn't do it right. So Pol Pot didn't do it right. Stalin didn't do it right. Hitler didn't do it right. This is ridiculous that... I can't believe that I send my daughters to college and they're learning from college professors this ridiculous nonsense. And yet they say, well, we just didn't do it right. No, they did it exactly the way it was supposed to be. So, you've wake up and learn. I mean, everything from the founding fathers, racists, Columbus, all this. Look, everyone had slaves. That's just the way it worked. And I don't agree with it. But we weren't the only ones that did it. And it's such an issue that they're like, America's bad, you're bad. Thomas Jefferson looked at 2% tax, he might have been happy with what's happening now. They're taxing us on what we could make. Soon. Do you think of future gains? Are they going to give us money back if we don't make that money?
No.
No.
This feels like a tryout that isn't going well.
Yeah.
He seems over-eager for the show, and like he's doing a show.
He's nervous.
Maybe.
Yeah, he feels nervous.
Yeah, and Alex does not enjoy it. Their energies have not met in the middle, and it's
bad show energy.
It's bad.
It's bad show, man, and it's really disconnected.
Yep.
It is like, man, I can accept three sentences in a row on the same topic, and then you can change it, and that's still too much. But you are going sentence by sentence, different.
If you look at the path of this,
it's
that they're teaching communism in the schools.
They didn't do it right.
Right. They didn't do it right is what they're teaching.
Right.
And then he jumps to all the founding fathers are racist.
Right.
Which is supposed to be connected by that's something else they're teaching in the schools.
Right.
So he complains about that. And now everyone says that they're all racist.
Everyone owns slaves.
No big deal.
That was good.
It's normal back then.
That was good stuff.
Our energies met.
It did. That's why we do a show together.
Right. So then he thinks of the founding fathers, and he thinks of Thomas Jefferson, and he thinks about a 2% tax.
Right.
And then he jumps to that.
Right.
Like, it's A to C to E.
Yeah.
A
lot of the times it feels like when people are doing this, they're skipping chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, if I had those chunks, it would make sense as to why we got there.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is not doing that.
No.
He is just free associating. Whatever pops in is what's coming out.
Well, and when you're in this dynamic, Alex gets to do that and you catch up.
Right.
He's not playing catch up with you.
No.
You're not leading this conversation. I know you killed Bin Laden, but so what?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Kill me?
Yeah.
That's illegal.
So I was real bored by this guy.
I believe it.
I think his thoughts were uncompelling and uninteresting for the way they're being delivered.
Yeah.
And then he said this, and I just said, all right, I will turn this off.
Right now, what we're looking at is Israel has finally taken they're in the saddle. They're on the horse because the two countries that are against complete communism or against the World Economic Forum, you brought that up, against the deep state, is Israel and the United States. Right now, we're lost. Israel, you saw what they just did with the pagers. That Israel's saying, you know what? F it. We got this. So they're proving that they're in the supply line. That not only, like, look at how cool that was with the pagers. They know damn well.
Not cool.
Once they hit
not
that
cool.
thing. Dudes will pick the pagers up and look at it, then they blow their face off, or they blow their sex organs off. That Israel is now taking the charge, and that's all we got left.
Alex should kick him off the show, based on his own positions and where he's at. Like, there's no reason that this should even go another minute.
Yep,
this should end.
Yep, I mean, just morally, anybody. I get how he can't get it. On account of he was gone through training to think that murder's okay.
Right.
That makes sense to me that he would be like, this is a cool use of technology because I'm from a place where the president can drone bomb people at random. I'm fine. I get why he would get there.
He has a desensitization
right.
on some level.
But even then, I kind of feel like he shouldn't be cool with that. He shouldn't be cool with
No.
He should be presenting it as, look how awesome this is.
Yeah, there's rules of engagement. The whole war thing. He should be into the war part where you have the rules of war, so you're warring not just a massacrer who murders people.
You'd think. And when I have somebody who I'm assessing, let's say, or trying to get a vibe off of, and they're somebody who's like, you know what? I fucking killed Bin Laden. I was in SEAL Team 6. I was so cool.
Yep.
I don't necessarily see growth as a person if this is what they're expressing years after they have left the killing game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see introspection. I don't see anybody who has something interesting to say about what they experienced. I bet his book sucks.
Yep.
And Alex should he should hate this guy.
Yeah, he has very big, I need to be kept on a leash energy, and that's why I was good in the military and not good in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I decided to exert my leash by saying, I don't really care how this ends. The ultimate conclusion should be Alex quitting on air because it has come
to
this.
Totally.
But you'll probably just plug a bunch.
I mean, it is so much like the Eric Adams thing where it's like, guys, everybody, stop. You don't need any more information. There is no more talking that needs to be done. That's it. It is what it is. Let's all just look at it and go, no.
Mm-hmm.
None of that.
Don't interview the guy who killed Bin Laden.
Just don't. Don't interview, even if he's not, well, even if he is what he says he is, and the guy who literally fired the single shot that did it, right? Still don't interview him.
Unless you've read his book and it involves just scathing analysis of what he experienced, and shows some kind of retrospect, and there's a statement to be made about the act of killing and what war is.
Totally.
Then maybe you interview him,
mm-hmm.
but not like this. Also, I would say maybe if you talk to this guy for 3 minutes and get this kind of a vibe off him, cancel the interview.
No, you
he starts
go.
Talking about how feminism is cool, but the
oh
NGOs
my god,
are...
you're breaking up.
Yeah, no, he's in studio.
Oh my god, you're still breaking up. Punch.
Yeah.
Punch.
Right. Oof. So anyway, we'll be back with another episode. Check in on how Alex is doing as his liquidation gets closer and closer. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We are also going to be back. Beep, beep,
beep. Beep, boop, boop, boop. I am the mysterious professor now.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.